could see everyone here this evening. When we sang that number 222, I believe it was, it was written, I've read several books on hymns and things that are written, and sometimes I like to share what I found out about it. If you read that, if you look at that song number, I believe it's 222 we just sang, it was written by J.M. McCaleb, and you may never have heard that name before, but J.M. McCaleb, about 1900, left everything behind, and he went to Japan. He was a missionary in Japan for up until about 1940, and he had to flee Japan, went to China for a couple of years, and finally made it back to the U.S., and so he's the one who wrote that song. And every time I think about, when we sing that song, I've heard it, I think about him. Spent all those years in Japan, and he went by himself. He just, nobody went with him. He just went. So he did a good work there for a long time. So that's just a side idea. But tonight we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, it says, "But Christ is Son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope, of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." Now we look at that, and it's a reference back to the Old Testament, back in the time when the Israelites rebelled against God in the wilderness, and he caused many of them to die in the wilderness. In fact, of all those above the age of 20 that came out of the Egyptian slavery, only two of those went into the promised land, including Moses and Aaron themselves, who did not go because of their different rebellions against God. So they did not listen to the voice of God as God intended for them to do. And we have to listen to the voice of God every day. Now, sometimes we say that, and maybe people think, well, okay, somehow God is going to speak to me in some way. And there are people today that claim have some kind of special understanding or wisdom that God imparts to them that he doesn't to others. Others are looking for some kind of sign in the clouds or whatever it might be, the sky or whatever. And they're looking for God to speak to them, to confirm or to show to them their faith and the fact that God is still with them. But we look at that and realize that's not the way God speaks to us today. But the voice of his word is the way that he speaks to us now. And notice in the passage we just read, in Hebrews chapter 3, And verse 6 says, "But Christ is Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end." And it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." In other words, God speaks to us. Now notice something right here. Christ is Son over the house of God. He is our King. He's our ruler. He is our Savior. He's our Lord. He is all of those things. God is the Father, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us by means of the message of the Word of God. Well, how do we know that? Well, that's a quote from Psalms 95. If you go back and read Psalms 95, David, the king of King David, was the one that wrote it. But what does the Hebrew writer say about who the actual author was? It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says." So when David wrote, he wrote by inspiration. David was the writer, but the Holy Spirit was the actual author of the message. And so when we read the message of the Word of God, God speaks to us through his Word. And so that's how it was done then, and that's how it's done today for us. But we go back to the Old Testament for a few moments, and realize, both in the Old and the New Testament, there were not many times throughout the Bible when God actually spoke directly to people. Sometimes maybe we read the Bible and we think, well, it seems like God was always talking to people directly. But he really wasn't. There was long periods of time when he didn't do that, between those periods of time. We go back, of course, to the first of that would be in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' And so he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat of it?' And then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.' And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" So we look at that, and that's one of the that's the last time that God spoke to Adam and Eve, in the sense that they were still in the Garden of Eden, that they were still sinless, until they decided that they were going to turn away from hearing the voice of God. We don't know how long exactly that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, from the time they were created and put there until they sinned. Probably there was some period of time. We don't know exactly how long that might have been. But they refused to hear and listen to the voice of God, even though God spoke directly to them and lived among them during that time in the Garden of Eden. It was the only time in all of human history where mankind was in a perfect situation, and he destroyed it by sin. The next time we look at one is actually much later. Now, God did indeed speak to people on some occasions. Not very many, but there's some. In Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And there was a man by the name of Abram. And we become more familiar with him later, because later his name is changed to Abraham. But it says in Genesis 12 verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Now God repeats that promise to Abraham on three or four different occasions after this. But he spoke directly to Abraham and made a promise to him. There's two parts to this promise. One of them is a physical promise. One was, "I'm going to make you of you a great nation." In other words, you're going to have a large group of descendants that are going to come from you, and I'm going to give you this land that you are in now. So there was the land, physical part of the promise. But there is a spiritual part of that promise also. And he says in chapter 12 and verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So there is a spiritual blessing that's going to come, not just to Abraham's descendants and Abraham's family, physically speaking, but spiritually to the whole world. They're going to be blessed because of this seed that God is going to give to him, which of course we know is Christ. But God spoke to Abraham directly on several occasions. We think next, of course, of Moses. And Moses was the one that God probably spoke to more than any other throughout the Old Testament. And turn over to the book of Hebrews again, in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning at Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18 says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may not be that may be touched, and that burned with fire, to blackness and darkness and tempest." It's talking about when Moses led the people out of Egyptian slavery in Exodus 13, 14, and 15. They came to Mount Sinai. God came down on Mount Sinai and brought Moses up to be with him. And the mountain, there was fire and smoke and earthquakes and all of these things. The people were terrified. Verse 19, Hebrews chapter 12, "And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the word, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Well, God spoke directly to the people of Israel from Mount Sinai. Well, they were terrified. They thought they were all going to die because of God and his speaking to them directly. Verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as the beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now, this is talking about us because we are in this Mount Sinai, the spiritual one now, which is the church. We are the Zion. We are God's people in this life. But Moses at Mount Sinai, God spoke directly to him. When the people didn't want to listen directly, Moses was taken up to the mountain. God gave him the law, the Ten Commandment law, and all of the other things of the law. And during that time, while Moses was on Mount Sinai, getting God's law to bring down to the people, Aaron was leading them and breaking the law already and building a golden calf to worship. And so from that time forward, it was very rare that God spoke directly to anyone. And yet today, there's people who claim that they hear the voice of God speaking to them all of the time. But one man once told me, for example, and this is maybe an extreme example of it, but I was talking to one time, and he told me that the Holy Spirit spoke to him the night before, and I was interested in what the Holy Spirit might have said to him. And the Holy Spirit told him he needed a new muffler on his car. And not only that, he told him which muffler shop he was to go to. And so that's the kind of thing some people think when they think God has spoken to them. I didn't know actually that the Holy Spirit was in the muffler business, but you know, that's the kind of thing some people do in claiming to hear the voice of God. But as we see, if you read through the Old and the New Testament, it's very seldom that God spoke directly to people. Occasionally he did, but it may be separated by several hundred years from one occurrence to the next. It was always according to God's plan. But how does the voice of God speak to us today? Well, obviously not directly in the sense that he spoke to Abraham or Moses or someone like that. Well, first of all, he speaks to us through Christ. Jesus is the final authority in all things. Again, the book of Hebrews, turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So how did God speak to the people most of the time? Through people, through the prophets in particular. Verse 2, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So God speaks to us today through Christ, through the message which the Holy Spirit that he received from God the Father and Christ the Son gives to you and me. God put his stamp of approval on Jesus Christ because in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter wanted to build three different tabernacles of worship to Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Well, they disappeared, and God spoke and said, this Christ is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. You don't hear anybody else in the sense that you believe and obey them as God. That's why in Matthew 28, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he said, all authority or all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so it is through his word that we are directed, that God speaks to us today. And that's basically what, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 3, which we read a moment ago, where God told him, do not harden your hearts, or today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial of the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and saw my works for 40 years. So God spoke through Moses to them to cause his will to be heard and to be done. But God is speaking to us now through the written word as we read and study and learn it. And the Holy Spirit directs that to be done. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And this is one of the great passages concerning how God speaks to us today. Isaiah 55 and beginning at verse 8. God says there in Isaiah 55 verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing in which I sent it." So God says, if my word goes out to the world, it's going to accomplish what I've sent it to do. Now, we might think, well, okay, we try to teach people the word of God, and you know, some will believe and obey it, some completely reject it. But God says, my word is going to accomplish what I want it to do if it goes out. because there are many people that don't believe it and obey it does not mean his word does not accomplish what he has said. Because even if they reject it, they still have the opportunity to believe and to obey it. And if they reject it, his word's going to be fulfilled, but those who reject his message are going to be lost eternally. So either way, his word is going to be fulfilled exactly as God said. And so there's no greater statement in one way of how God and his work and his will and his message is revealed to us and how it works within us. And we should give heed to the voice of God, because it is the voice of God and the mercy of God given to us. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and beginning there in verse 16. It's talking about Jesus. This was at the earliest part of his personal ministry, just after his baptism and the other things that happened there. And Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, they wanted to take Jesus out and stone him to death after he said that, or throw him off the hill, because they said he was blaspheming. He was claiming to be God, that he was fulfilling this passage from the book of Isaiah. But in fact, he was doing that very thing. But God's message of the to the world was one of mercy and love and grace and forgiveness. And it still is. That hasn't changed, but some people will accept it and some people won't. In Titus 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." We are renewed by the Holy Spirit when we believe and obey the gospel of Christ, and we receive that blessing from God. It is his sovereign voice. Sovereignty means rule or authority. God speaks, and it is his rule, his authority, his power over us. That's why I go back to Matthew chapter 17. and the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter and James and John were privileged to be able to see Moses and Elijah with Jesus there. And I can't begin to imagine how it must have felt for those three to see two of the greatest men that ever lived on the face of the earth. They had heard about them all of their lives. They'd been taught about Moses and Elijah. And now they are seeing them right there before them. And we can only understand why Peter would say what he did. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles of worship, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. God said, this is my beloved son. Hear you him, not the others. Now, there was nothing wrong with Moses. There was nothing wrong with Elijah. They fulfilled what God required of them in their time. But Jesus is the fulfillment of it all. It is the voice of his invitation every day we live. God invites us to come to him every day. It's like when we believe and obey the gospel, we answer what we usually call the invitation. It is an invitation, but that invitation is open every day we live to make the choice to serve him or not. That's why in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. That's a promise every day we live, not just ever so often. But our duty then and our responsibility comes upon us because of God's love and grace and mercy. Our duty and responsibility, first of all, is to hear what the Word of God says, to believe it, to accept it, and obey it. Turn again back to the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, in verses 2 and 3, Isaiah said, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Now, Isaiah looked at the people of his day, and God told him, he says, tell them this. I created you, I made you, I give you all of these blessings. And he says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel doesn't know me. They've turned away from me. And so look down then in verse 16 of Isaiah chapter 1. God had told him, I don't want your Sabbaths and your Sabbath worship or your new moons and the all of these different feasts and all of these sacrifices you've made. Now, the law commanded them to do that. But they weren't doing it because they loved God, because they wanted to do God's will. They were doing it because the law commanded them to do it. And it was just a command to be fulfilled. And once they'd done it, they had checked that off their calendar for the time until the next time they had to do it. And then they went to live as they wanted. Well, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. He says, wash yourself, make yourselves clean. Put away evil from your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. In other words, he says you have to change. You have to change your heart, your mind, and your life if you're going to be pleasing to me. Verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But notice then the result of these, of whether they do this or not. Verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's the blessing. But verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, there is no third or fourth way they could choose. It's one or the other. You do what God said, being willing and obedient, and then he says you'll eat of the good of the fruit of the land. Well, that's a physical blessing, but they also had a spiritual blessing that went along with it, and which, of course, would eventually be eternal. But he says if you refuse and rebel, in other words, you continue to do what you're doing now, He says, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Well, in the time of Isaiah the prophet, the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes that broke off originally, they were taken into Assyrian captivity, and they never returned. There was just a very small righteous remnant that were saved out of Israel that were still faithful. But later on, of course, in the time of Jeremiah the prophet, the kingdom of Judah suffered the same thing. And so they were not willing to listen to the voice of God through the prophets that he gave them. So we have to listen to what God says to us through his word. We not only have to listen to it, we have to believe it. It doesn't do us any good if we just hear it and then go away and forget what we've heard. We have to accept it and believe it. Jesus said in the Great Commission, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. Again, that's a very simple command. It's not hard to understand, but we still have to do that. And we have to be willing to obey every day that we live. Obedience to the gospel is not just one time. It's every day we live. The gospel is the message of God to us. We live by it. We believe it. We obey it. In James 1:22, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we hear the word of God, but we don't do it like the Israelites did in Isaiah chapter 1. It eventually does not help us any because we've rejected the opportunity. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. So God does indeed speak to us today, just as he has always spoken to his people. The method may be different than it was in the time of Adam and Eve or Abraham or Moses, but he still speaks to us. We still have to believe and obey just as they did. And the blessing's going to follow. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses was right coming close to the end of his life, and he was speaking his last message to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness, as witnesses against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. That was the physical blessing that God promised to Israel, as well as eventually eternal life. Well, God promises the same kind of thing to us. It's not a physical blessing as much, but it is a spiritual one that's going to last for all of eternity. But we have to be willing to listen and believe and obey. So tonight, if you do have a need in your life to come, if you will do so at this time as we stand and as we sing.